Hallelujah. All your enemies will bow down, for you reign on high. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. He has been given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow of those things in heaven, those things on earth, and those things under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And we bow now. We bow now. Hallelujah. You know, we got to open our hearts, don't we? We got to trust the Lord with all our heart. We just got to let it go. Let you go. My biggest obstacle is me. I get in the way. I just got to set me aside. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. The Lord is here. He is among us. Jesus, we pray that Your will would be accomplished in this place today, in every heart and every life, Lord, that You would open our understanding, give us ears to hear what You are saying, Lord, and grant us repentance unto life, and we will turn from our wicked ways, Lord. Make us ready for You, Lord. Make us ready for eternity. Deliver us from self-righteousness. Lord, You are our righteousness. And our heart's desire is that we'll be clothed in You. That we'll be clothed in Your righteousness. And all that You are, Lord. God, we just say, saturate us with Your presence. Body, soul, and spirit, Lord, saturate us. Captivate us. Let Your will be done, Lord. We pray that You would motivate our hearts with Your desires, Lord. Make Your will our desire, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I found that you don't have to coax anybody to serve the Lord. If they seek the Lord, if we seek the Lord, what will happen is He'll light you up inside, and all of a sudden His desires will become your desires, and you'll want to serve God. Amen? Amen. Otherwise, we're just doing a legal thing in the flesh, but we have to be motivated by the Spirit of God. God is with us, folks. We are praying that the Lord will build this church, and that we will get out of His way and let Him do it the way He wants with the people He wants. But God is moving. You know, we say, well, we're praying for God to move. Well, God is moving. We got to get with Him. He's waiting on us to get with Him, to get in the river with Him, get in agreement with the Spirit of God. And what a joy it is to serve. And you know, there is a special blessing when we gather together in His name. Because Jesus said, when two or three gather, I will be there in your midst. That's why church is important. As often as possible, coming together. Amen. Not to play church, but as the church, corporately meeting as the body of Christ. So praise the Lord. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I ask You for grace, for ability. Lord, I can't do this without You. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'll direct my thoughts and my words today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about the two houses. And the text is from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. I hear that. Amen. We can do this. with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. It didn't say trusting in your own goodness, but trusting in Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. We've been talking about the soul and the spirit, and the soul life can be represented by that veil, that thick veil that was like 6 inches thick, and it was so thick that no one was going to be able to just take out some scissors and cut it. You know, it was very thick that divided between the most holy place and the holy place. And the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, really represents the heart of man, the very core of our being. And the holy place would represent our soulish part, the mind, the will, the emotions. And that will is, again, that veil that often will separate us from the connection that we have made available to us through Christ. Now, we cannot have fellowship with the Father in the Spirit, listen, until that veil in our hearts is torn open. Now, Jesus opened the way into the most holy. Amen? But you must be born again. You must receive the Spirit of Christ. There must be a tearing of that veil in our hearts. Christ must shine into your hearts. And so there are people who are living in the soul, in the soul man. We're all naturally born as souls, as living souls. And we have, the mind, the will, and the emotions. We can live a natural life, but it's not necessarily a spiritual life. And if we want to live a spiritual life, you must be born of God's Spirit. You must receive the Spirit of Christ into your innermost being or into your holy place. Now, once again, the veil is the problem. The veil is our stubbornness, our unwillingness to yield to the Spirit of God. You know, once a person turns to the Lord tears that veil open, and we have now been given access into the Father's throne room. You see, you and I today, right, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. And so we have communion with the Father in the Spirit. And sometimes we confuse what's soulish for that which is spiritual. We need to know the difference between what's soulish and what's spiritual. So I want us to take a look at this, even from another perspective today, about the two houses. Now, you know that God gave each one of us a mind to think, emotions to feel, and a will to choose. And God never takes that away from us. You know, when we become believers, it's not like I'm completely taken over by God and God does everything now. It's a choice for you and I every day to serve either the Lord or self. But you can't serve two masters. And we are what the Bible calls double-minded when we're trying to serve two masters, when we're trying to serve ourselves and Christ. But when we deny self and we serve Christ, we have life and peace in the Spirit. But the flesh or the soul life says, no, I don't want to give my life up. I don't want to die. I want to live on and have my way. And that's where we get into trouble. Because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. And that is the way of self-will. Jesus didn't come to take our will away, but he came to cause us to come into a place of fellowship with him by breaking that veil, that stubbornness within us. Now, if you are a believer, if Christ is in you today, you're not automatically going to be a spiritual person. I know that's hard for some of us to accept, but we must grow spiritually. You must build your spirit. You must feed on the Spirit and the Word of God. You must yield to the Spirit of God to grow. The more we yield to the Spirit of God, the more capacity he has in us to fill us. If you want more of Jesus, it's going to require more of you. But I have found out that it's a worthy exchange. How many have found out that it's worthy? It's worth it. Every time I deny myself and say yes to Jesus, I have life and peace. I have life. But your soul resists the spirit. Your soul man does not want to die to its desires, its passions. So it fights. And so we have to take a deliberate stand against that part of us that would rebel against God's will, God's word. God's not going to do it for you because God will not violate your right to choose. It's absolutely true, folks, isn't it, that we have a right to choose every day. God doesn't take that away. It's no different than any love relationship. If you are in love with somebody, that relationship works when there is a submission of each one's will to the other. We can have peace in a relationship as long as one has decided to quit fighting. If you're in a spat with your loved one and one of you decides to say, okay, I've had enough of this, you win. You have maybe a ceasefire, right? A temporary peace. But you don't have fellowship until both of you have yielded together. And you meet in that place. There's a sweet spot in your relationship. There's a sweet spot in our relationship with God, the Father. We have fellowship with the Father when we are submitting our will to His will. Because God actually has bowed Himself to us. I want you to hear this. Jesus came and He served us. And He gave us an example of the heart of the Father, that the Father actually wants to serve and to bless your life. Come on. Sometimes, see, we don't understand God's heart, and that's what gets us in trouble too. But God actually wants to bless your life. And the way that we are blessed is by coming into fellowship with Him. And you cannot have fellowship with the Father except in the Spirit, and that's only possible when my soul is submitted to Him. I'm under His authority now. I'm under new ownership, new management. I'm no longer serving that old master. I'm serving Jesus now. So Jesus, when He walked this earth, He used His soul, amen, His mind, His will, and His emotions. I mean, He was a regular guy. He came as just a carpenter's son. He was God incarnate. He was the Word of God that became flesh. God in the flesh, and yet He was a man like you and I. And He had the right to choose every day who He was going to obey, who He was going to serve. Aren't you glad that He didn't yield to that part of Him that would rebel against His Father's will? Because if He had, you and I would still be in our sins. We'd be without hope. He would not have rose. And He could not have been the sacrifice for our sins. So Jesus walked this earth. Whenever it came to the Father's will, that's when Jesus had to say no to self and yes to the Father. You understand? We have freedom. We have liberty to walk in a freedom to choose every day how we will live, what choices to make. It's up to us. But when we willingly choose the way of God, we are choosing the way of life. But that part of you that says, no, I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to lose my lifestyle. I'm going to lose out on the things that I enjoy doing is the part that you have to say shut up to. Because that is deceptive thinking, folks, that when God requires something of us, folks, it may be painful initially, but it will produce the fruit of righteousness. It will produce His life in us. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of life and death. Choose who you will serve. See, sometimes we think if we have legalistic thinking, it's all a matter of, did I do enough good or was I bad today? See, we have to think in terms of relationship with God. Are we in life is the question, or are we in death? When we're in Christ, we're in life. When we abide in Christ, we abide in life. When we abide in self and selfish ambition and selfish desire, then I'm in death. Does it make sense? So you have to make a distinction, and you have to be able to know the difference between the two. John 6:38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So being excited about Jesus is wonderful. I get excited about Jesus. Is that a good thing? Should we be excited about Jesus? But hear me, emotional excitement will not keep you, especially in difficult times. If we are just led by the soul and the emotion, then as soon as the good feeling's not there, we're devastated. Why? Because we are building our house on the sand of self. And I'm depending on the buzz and the emotional feeling I get to sustain me. And that will not carry you, folks. We have emotions that God gave us, and when the Spirit of God touches us, our emotions are very much a part of that, and that's wonderful, but it goes deeper than the emotions. How many have discovered that your emotions are fleeting? Sometimes we're like that roller coaster. God wants to bring stability to our lives. And that stability comes by the work of His Spirit in our spirit. But in order for us to receive the benefit of that fellowship, once again, we have to deliberately say no to the self-life. If we want to have life and peace in the spirit, if you want to know what real joy is, start saying no to your selfish desires and start saying yes to Jesus. Don't get caught up in all the no's. Start doing the yeses. Live proactive. Amen. Live for the yeses in God's word. Do this. Amen. Because sometimes we can get caught up in just the negativity of finding fault and what's wrong and what's broken. And, you know, if our focus is on just what is wrong or what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her or what's wrong with this church or that church, then we'll get ourselves into a funk real quick. Why? Because we're sitting in a place of judgment, even though we may not realize it. What we need to do is we need to judge ourselves. And the older I get and the more that I learn and the more I draw and I become like Christ, the more I realize that, you know what, I am just a recipient of mercy. God's been merciful to me. Like the old song says, take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. And if we would examine ourselves, we would not be condemned. We would not be judged. So let us be quick to say, Lord, what about me? Where do I stand? And you know what, folks? I'm becoming more like that now where I'm just saying, God, I just want to make sure that my heart is right with you. Amen? And I'm not so concerned about, as Peter was, well, what about John? What's going to happen with him? You know? What's that to you, Peter? It's none of my business, folks. Sometimes we're getting our nose into things that it's not my business. We can become spiritual busybodies sometimes. I've been there. I've done that. I need to examine myself and let the Holy Spirit be the one that show me. Amen. To be led of the Spirit is to have the mind, will, and emotions under the control of the Holy Spirit. Emotions are good. Your intellect is important. God gave you your intellect. Amen. And your will is important. It's all what makes you up. You are a soul. And these things make us up. That's what we're made of, right? But those three things, that soul has to come under God's authority. If I'm not under His authority, then I have no authority in the Spirit. People who are under authority have authority. And so there is one foundation for our lives. And how many know what that foundation is? Amen. Now, the two houses, looking at Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what foundation am I building my life on? Now, I used to look at this as being, well, these are just the Christians over here and the non-Christians. The non-Christians are the ones who build their life on the sand, and the Christians are the ones who build their life on the rock. How many of you think that way about that? When you see the two houses, you think, oh yeah, this guy builds on the rock, this guy builds on the sand. You know, there's people who have said yes to Jesus. They've invited Jesus to come into their heart, but they're living on sand. You know why? Because they're living out of their self-will, and they have not allowed God to be Lord of their life. In other words, their foundation is on self and not on Christ. We can sing the songs, we can claim to be followers of Jesus or Christians, but a true Christian is one whose life is founded on Christ Jesus, who's built on the will of God, the purpose of God for their lives. And this is a thing that we need to understand, otherwise we will think that Christianity is just something we do on Sunday, or we have an occasional thing with God, and then the rest of the time I live for self. That is not true Christianity, folks. That is deception. Amen. And you will not have joy and peace and righteousness in that place. You will be filled with your own desires and your own ways, which will always leave you empty. I love God's presence. I love fellowship with the Father. I want to abide in His presence. But it requires me saying no to my self-will daily and saying yes to the will of God. And every time I say yes to the will of God, and God says, I want you to go and go do this thing or whatever it might be, and I say yes, and I do it even though my soul says, I don't want to do it. I say, shut up. And I obey the Spirit of God, and I go, and I meet Jesus there. For where I am, He said, there my servant will be also. Sometimes I've obligated myself to things where I could have called up and said, I'm not feeling well today, or I just don't feel up to it, or I make up some excuse for not doing it. But then there's another part of me says, go. Just go. And I have to say no to that part of me that wants to be comfortable. The soul just wants to be comfortable. But I found something, that whenever I'm uncomfortable to do the will of God, I encounter life. And there is a joy unspeakable in that place. Amen? That it lifts you up above anything, any inconvenience, any discomfort. How is it that the disciples could be flogged and beaten for Jesus and walk away rejoicing? It's because they were living in a different plane, folks. They were in the Spirit. They were in fellowship with the Father in the Spirit. And they had a joy that was beyond what this world could give. So what foundation are you building your life on? Is my life built on the sand of my self-will? Or on the will of God? You know, many of us have heard thousands of sermons in our lifetime. But how much of that information are we actually living out? How many here could say, yeah, I've probably listened to thousands of sermons in my lifetime? Yeah? Ask yourself the question, how much of all that information are you actually living out? How much of it is experiential? It's now become who you are and how you live. I was talking with a friend the other day, and he was kind of talking about the same thing. He was saying, I've heard so many good sermons over the years, and yet I'm not even living out the truth I learned 10 years ago. You know, we think sometimes if I just get one more sermon, one more seminar, one more CD, a little more information, a little bit more knowledge, I'm going to arrive, or I'm going to be happy, or I'm going to be fulfilled. Or if I can just get to the latest woohoo in the church somewhere and get that emotional buzz, you know. Folks, if it's not in the Spirit, it's in death. What we need is life. And Christ is our life. And when you walk in the Spirit and in with fellowship, because you are yielding your will to the will of the Father, you are encountering life. And it requires the sacrifice of myself. And remember, agape love is a self-sacrificing love. It is me saying, I'm going to love, I'm going to serve. And you do that with your family, amen. You're willing to give your life for your wife, for your husband, or your children. That's that unidirectional love that says, whether you love me or not, I'm going to love you. You know what? That's what God has done for us. Whether we loved Him or not, He still loved us. You know, that gives me hope to think that, man, God actually loves me. How many know you need a revelation of that? You need to really know that. Because when we look at ourselves, sometimes we say, how can anybody love this? I don't know, maybe you've never felt that way, but I have. So spiritual growth is more than an accumulation of knowledge or information. You're not to live from the tree of knowledge, because if you live from just knowledge, folks, and from the soulish part of you, you become a Pharisee. Amen? You become legalistic. Information, I can debate, I can win, you know, a Bible debate, and I can prove I'm right and you're wrong. How many know you can prove you're right theologically and be completely out of touch with the Spirit of God? You can be operating actually in death and producing death in somebody even using this word. Because that word is to be used, amen, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. We are to preach the message by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And that means there has to be a sanctification or a separation in my heart between soul and spirit. I must be functioning from the Spirit and not from the intellect, folks. You can hear intellectual messages. You can hear thousands of them, and they'll never produce life until you hear a message spoken by the Spirit of God sent down from heaven from simply a yielded clay jar. Amen. It's not about us, but it is about God and His will. But I rejoice in the fact that God chose me. I love serving the Lord. It is a joy to serve the Lord. But folks, even if it doesn't feel good, are we willing to obey God? This is where the rubber meets the road. In the moment of trial, in the time of temptation, when you're struggling to say yes to God, but you want to say yes to self too. Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to go all the way to the cross for us? That He wept those tears of blood, amen? The drop sweat of blood came from His forehead for us, because He was struggling, even Jesus Himself, because He came just like us. In His humanity, He struggled to say no, to get victory over the flesh or the soul life, and say no to, I want to save myself. I don't want to go through this. And there was this war going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. Is it making sense? And finally, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And folks, when He died, He said, it is finished. That veil of the temple, that thick curtain that couldn't be penetrated, was torn from top to bottom. You see, His flesh was crucified. on that cross to open the way into the most holy. Jesus had to die to himself to live in the will of his Father. And those who will build their lives on the will of God are those wise people who have dug deep. Dug deep, as Luke's account says, they dug deep. What did they dig through? They dug through the soul life, the sand of the soul and the selfish ambition. They had to dig through all that stuff that was in opposition to what God was saying so that they could touch the heart of God. Do you know, folks, there are times we just have to be deliberate about prayer. We have to be deliberate about worship and praise. We have to be deliberate about obedience. How many every day you have to be deliberate about these things, about walking in the Spirit? It is a choice. I have to be deliberate about it. I have to be willing to dig deep so I can touch the heart of God. Amen. You're not going to sit around and it's just going to happen. God says you need to come to me. You need to approach the throne of grace. You need to come before me. Amen. We must draw near to God, and then he will draw near to us. It is a choice. And my will wants to get in the way. My will says, I don't want to give praise. And you say, shut up. I will bless the Lord and give him glory. And when you say no to self and yes to what the Spirit of God in you is saying, you will encounter life and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It's not enough just to know what is true. There are some people that are so theologically correct, and they can tell you what the Bible says and what is true, but they can be so far disconnected again from the Spirit of God that they're in death, and they're presenting a message that is just a dead letter. Am I right? And what we pray is, oh God, set me aside. I want your Spirit to lead and to guide and to direct my thoughts and my words and my actions every day. I want to be led of your Spirit. I want to abide in life. I don't want to get caught up in the law of good and bad, right and wrong. I want to live in life. See, that is the problem. As many times, even in the church, we're trying to live out of the tree of knowledge. Which did what? Produced death. The knowledge of the law revealed our sinfulness, revealed that we've all broken God's law. But there's a tree of life, and his name is Jesus. And whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And now we can come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. James 1:23 says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. He's not talking about do's and don'ts in the sense of having a legal obligation to do what God says. He's talking about a relationship with God, a relationship of love where I am submitting my will to the will of my Father, and then I enter into true fellowship in the Spirit. And out of that relationship will come desire for obedience, desire to do the will of God. Are you hearing me? With the right motivation and not to try to earn enough credit for me to be right with God. I do it out of love and not out of obligation. Verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Even though you may be a believer in Jesus today, unless you yield your will to the will of the Father your life will continue to be unstable. You will be building your life on sand or on self. But when we bend, when we bow, that's what worship means, to bow down to. When I bow my will to the will of my Father, I enter into life. I enter into relationship. I enter into covenant. I enter into fellowship with my Father. And I experience the life, the joy, the peace, the righteousness of fellowship with the Father. And out of that relationship, good works will follow. That's where it's at. Folks, there's not a lot of preaching about this today. A lot of people are just patching their lives, trying to patch their lives, you know? Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, you've got to deny yourself. If you want to know what joy is, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, in our soul, we can bless ourselves. We can fill our lives with all kinds of stuff and things of this world, in an entertainment of this world. But all you're doing is stimulating your soul. But there's no life in any of that. There's only life in Christ. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When I die to my self-will and I enter into covenant with God and in the Spirit we connect, there's life. And out of that, that's what we call revival, folks. That's what it is. It's not some kind of hype thing that we do. It's encountering the living God in reality, fellowship in the Spirit. And when I deny myself, I can walk in His life and His joy. I don't have to go to some meeting to do that. How many remember this? You know, sometimes, again, we've heard so many sermons. We've heard so much stuff. You know, we just got to get back to the basics, get back to the main thing. Just walking with God, enjoying fellowship with Him, listening to His voice and saying, okay, we're doing this together, Jesus. But when we yield to the Father's will, we can experience His joy of fellowship within the veil. That's where it's at. In Matthew 13 and verse 20, listen to what Jesus said. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Are you hearing it? In other words, this type of believer hears the message and receives it with joy. Man, that was a good sermon. That was an awesome message. Are you hearing me? But what does he say? But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. New Living Translation. Do you hear that? If you don't get your roots, and if you are just trying to base your life upon the sand of emotionalism or intellectualism, or even some people who are good at using their will even to control other people to get them to do what they want, it's all in death and it's of the soul. And the enemy is behind that. How many know that? Because God Himself doesn't do that to us. If you are controlling people and manipulating people and using your emotions and your will to control people around you, you're in witchcraft. That is the spirit of witchcraft. And you need to repent of it. You know, that part of you says, ooh, I didn't like hearing that. See, that's the part of us that needs to die. I hear messages and I subject myself to and submit myself to the word of God. I say, Lord, what about me? Turn the light on. And sometimes it's like, ouch. But thank God that He's faithful. You know, I can't always see what's going on in myself. I can see what's going on in you sometimes better than I can see what's going on in me. But I got to take more a look at me, amen, and quit looking at everybody else. Say, God, what really matters is that my heart is right with You. Don't be like the Pharisee that stood and said within himself, well, I'm thankful I'm not like other men. Well, I tithe and I go to church and I sing in the choir and He compared himself to other people. Who was the publican who beat his chest? All he could say is, God, be merciful to me. Thank God that he was able to see his need of mercy and grace. Unless you can see that, for you, you will not be born again. Some people will go to hell because they have not come to the place where they will admit that you're not all that. Don't ever pretend to be something you're not. If you pretend to be what you're not, you'll never become who you were intended to be. So let us submit ourselves to God. Deny the soul that wants to resist. Even that means, folks, I have to say no to my comforts at times so that I can do the will of God. But once I do that, I find that God's there. Jesus was meeting me right there. He's saying, hey, I'm over here, guys. Oh, Jesus, don't you see I'm busy right now? I don't have time to stop and help this guy out over here. But that's where Jesus was. How often do we miss him? And so we need to understand the importance of living within the veil. Father God, thank you for your word today. Lord, we want to know you. Lord, we want to be the wise man who dug deep and laid his foundation, the foundation of his life, on the will of God. Lord, we want to be like that wise man. And God, we're asking you to help us to get over ourselves, to know how to deny ourselves daily, take up our cross and follow you. Lord, we don't have strength when we're strong in ourselves. We can only have your strength when we're through with ourselves. Help us. Teach us how to die to ourselves, that we may have your life, life and peace in the Spirit. We pray your kingdom come and will be done in every life here today, Lord. I pray that heaven will come down in this place and touch every person. Lord, Holy Spirit, overshadow every soul in this place. God, I pray that you will break through the veil of the hearts. God, that your light will shine. Your love will break through. That we will be born of your Spirit. And that we will learn how to live within the veil with you in the secret place of the Most High. That out of that fellowship in the Spirit, we will fulfill the will of God. Jesus said, my will, my meat, is to do the will of my Father and to complete that will. A Holy Spirit-led individual lives a stable life, a life based on the will of God. Folks, hear me today. We need to break through. You need to have a breakthrough in your heart. Years ago, there was a thing called praying through. Now we do pop-up prayers. Are you hearing me? Now we do drive-through prayers. But some of us need to get a grip of that soul man, that soul life, and we need to bring that thing under control, that part of us that says no to God and yes to self. And you need to pray through. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to live in victory. If we're not willing to die to ourselves, then we will continue to be unstable. And if you don't get your roots, I want you to hear this, then you will be just like that seed that fell among the stones. That even though it sprung up immediately, and the word was received with joy, there was excitement, there was the emotion of that moment, because there was no root to the heart of God, to the rock who is Christ Jesus. We didn't break through. We didn't pray through. We didn't get that soul man under control. Are you hearing me? And we didn't get connected to Christ like we should be. When the difficulties come, when the tribulations come, when opposition comes, when your name comes up in the crowd as being an outcast, you're not going to have the strength to stand up. Even if it comes down to the point there, we may be required to give our life for Jesus if we don't have, amen, that stability within the veil, if we don't have that fellowship with the Father, we are not going to be able to stand up in that day. It's only those whose roots grow deep and they go deep into the rock of Christ Jesus. My life is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's not in me. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. That means I don't trust me. But wholly lean on Jesus' name. We need to be grounded in Christ. Folks, I want to encourage you today. You hear the message. You hear the word. When God is speaking to your heart, it's not a time to put it on the shelf and say, well, I'll think about it and I'll come back to it later. It is a time to say yes, because no one can come to the Father unless He's being drawn. Amen? You cannot come to Jesus except the Father draws you. Are you hearing His voice today? Is God speaking to you today? Is God saying, yes, you need to break through the veil of your stubborn will so that I can have you and you can enjoy the life that I promise you? Are you willing to die to yourself? Are you willing to deny even the comfort of say, well, I'm in a hurry and I've got things to do today and I'll think about that? Are you willing to listen to the voice of God today in the moment that He's calling you? Because you just can't bebop into His throne room. A king summons you to His throne. And you're being summoned today to surrender your life. And in that surrender, you will find life and peace, true joy. And there's a part of you right now saying, oh, I don't know. That's the part that has to die. That's the part that you have to deny. And you have to say yes to the Spirit of God.